This is Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, March 11, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki this week. Michigan is experiencing a special education teacher shortage, but as WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, one organization is filling the gap.
Talent Together partners with 56 Michigan intermediate school districts and 18 colleges and universities, addressing the state's teacher shortage by removing barriers to certification. Dr. Serena Shivers is Talent Together's executive director.
We are really trying to turn the needle and make a big difference in the area in which there are the most vacancies in teacher shortages across the state.
Dr. Shivers says there's been a steady decline in certified teachers since the pandemic, due in part to many candidates leaving the field for higher-paying tech jobs. According to an analysis from Lansing-based pollster Epic, the state ranks 44th nationwide in starting teacher salaries, just over $41,000, and 19th in average pay at slightly above $69,000. The teacher shortage is most acute in special education.
About 40% of all teacher vacancies across the state of Michigan are in the area of special education.
Talent Together is moving hundreds of new certified educators into those roles, with 43% of job candidates focused on special education certification.
They are giving so much of themselves back to some of our most vulnerable learners that need it the most.
The state is offering tuition reimbursement grants to increase the number of educators supporting students with disabilities. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids Van Andel Institute has received a federal grant to support its cutting-edge research in neurological disorders. WGVU's Dee Morrison looks at researchers' efforts to develop life-changing therapies.
The Van Andel Institute received a $555,000 federal grant from the Department of Health and Human Services to support clinical research focused on frontotemporal degeneration, FTD, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS. Lead ALS researcher Dr. Shang Chu discussed his lab's mission to uncover the biological roots and mechanisms behind the disorder. Zhu notes the primary goal is to improve existing gene therapies that often require frequent clinical visits, hoping his team can design a new therapy targeting damaged genes with a one-and-done treatment. The lab uses stem cell technology that turns a patient's skin or blood cells into nerve cells to recreate the disease in a petri dish and test new drugs. Zhu says, once we identify a promising treatment, the next step is to move it into clinical trials. That's the pipeline we're working to build here at VAI, transforming discoveries in the lab into actual ways to help people. Grand Rapids Democrat U.S. Representative Hillary Scolton announced the funding Tuesday. I'm Dee Morrison.
Before anyone was killed or hurt, Kent County deputies intercepted and arrested a man driving the wrong way on U.S. 131. And as a warning to others, WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they posted the traffic stop on social media.
He's going to be behind him on the northbound side. I'll be on the southbound side.
At about 1:30 Tuesday morning, a pair of Kent County deputies took off after a driver heading south on U.S. 131 in the northbound lanes. The wrong-way driver traveled several miles before pulling over near 76th Street.
We're slowing down. Speeds are about 60. Passing under the 76th Street. We're passing out. Going to be a one-rail occupant in the vehicle.
A 33-year-old Grand Rapids man alone in the vehicle questioned by one of the deputies.
Do you know that you're going southbound in the northbound lane? Where are you coming from?
My house.
Your house? Right, so you're on the highway. You're on 131 right now. Do you know where that is?
Yes.
Okay. You're going the wrong way down the highway? You're going southbound in the northbound lane.
Okay, I understand.
Do you realize how dangerous that is?
I do understand.
Okay.
Last November, a few miles farther down the highway, a wrong-way driver heading south on 131 collided with a northbound vehicle. The wrong-way driver and three teenagers in the oncoming car were killed. Police suspect the Grand Rapids man stopped Tuesday morning was under the influence.
Yes. How much have you had to drink tonight?
I drive.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Grand Rapids officials are asking residents to share their opinions, shaping future city services and decisions. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more about the new community survey.
Over the next few weeks, randomly selected houses in Grand Rapids will receive a postcard inviting them to take the National Community Survey. The survey asks residents 33 questions about their quality of life, city services, customer service, community opportunities, and experiences with City Hall. Responses will provide feedback which city officials will compare to results from 2022 and 2024 surveys. The findings will will also inform city planning and budget processes. City leaders say the survey is an important way for residents to have a direct voice in how their local government operates. City Manager Mark Washington stated, quote, "This survey offers residents a convenient way to indicate what's working and what needs more attention. It's one of many important inputs that shape local government, as every response helps us make better informed decisions on how to serve our community," end quote. Residents who are not selected for the survey can access an online version on the city's website from Monday, April 6th through Monday, April 20th. I'm David Limbaugh.
And rising energy costs is one concern at the center of the data center debate in West Michigan. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, Consumers Energy claims state protections prevent growth costs from shifting to existing customers.
West Michigan's reliable energy grid, access to fiber networks, and cooler climates continue to draw interest from data center developers. Consumers Energy media specialist Matt Johnson says the Michigan Public Services Commission requires that large new energy users, including data centers, must pay all the costs required to serve them.
Those fixed costs don't change, and the usage does, right? And so those costs get more spread more widely among more users, and therefore our residential customers actually benefit.
Johnson says other protections include 15-year contracts with penalties for early exit and minimum demand charges.
So it requires, if we're going to have this electricity and this supply available for them, they've got to pay for it even if they don't use it.
Johnson assures that adding large users such as data centers will not strain the grid.
We're required to prove that we have the energy to serve any growth, whether that's a data center or a small mom and pop shop. We have the energy today, and we're going to continue to grow our energy supply in the most sustainable way possible in order to serve the needs of the future for growth in Michigan.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up from Kent ISD, an interview in the Your Dream is Our Dream series. In state news, Governor Gretchen Whitmer paid a visit to the White House yesterday to meet with President Donald Trump. Among other things, the president agreed to deliver more federal funds to help northern Michigan recover from ice storms that pummeled the region last spring. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The White House and the governor's office both released statements following the meeting. Whitmer Press Secretary Stacey LaRouche says the additional money will help residents, small businesses, and utilities still facing substantial costs of rebuilding after the ice storms. The governor also provided an update to the president on the deadly tornadoes that hit southwest Michigan last week. The talks also included the new fighter mission at Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Macomb County and funding for a barrier project to protect the Great Lakes from invasive carp. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
A Michigan bill to make it easier for small child care centers to work outside of their own home appeared before a state Senate committee on Tuesday. Colin Jackson has more.
The bill will let small providers watch kids outside of their home, but with similar regulations as if they were in-home. There was broad but not universal support among child care providers. Patricia Sudas Little worked on a pilot program in northern Michigan. She says taking it statewide could address child care shortages.
It provides one more way to bridge that child care gap.
But child care provider Tamara Craven says those smaller centers, known as micro centers, shouldn't get special treatment.
Call me old school, but after 32 years, a center is a center.
The bill is part of a broader legislative package to ease regulations and increase state support for child care in Michigan. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
And Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says she will not appeal a ruling dismissing charges against individuals who falsely tried to certify the 2020 presidential election for Donald Trump. The 16 people posed as official electors from Michigan who would certify Trump won the state in 2020 rather than the true victor, Joe Biden. A district judge ruled there was not enough evidence to prove the false electors acted with criminal intent. Nessel argues Trump led the scheme, but is not likely to ever face trial over the matter. Nessel released a lengthy report justifying not pursuing an appeal, saying she wanted to have a full accounting of the case on the record. That is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. I'm Rick Bierling. From Your Dream is Our Dream, Kent ISD, Brian Gall spent some 30 years as an electrician after completing a program at Kent Career Tech Center that introduced him to his trade. Now he is using his years of experience and industry expertise to teach students like Kent City High senior Briar Armstrong in a Kent ISD CTE program at West Michigan Construction Institute.
This program is made possible by Kent ISD in partnership with WGVU. I'm Joy Walczak, and today I'm talking with Brian Gall, electrical instructor at West Michigan Construction Institute and a proud alum of Kent Career Tech Center, and Briar Armstrong, a senior at Kent City High, who also attends Brian's electrical class, a Kent ISD CTE program. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Mr. Gall, I'd love to get started with you. Can you tell us about the program here at West Michigan Construction Institute that you're teaching, where Briar's now a student?
Yes, the high school students can, junior year, they can apply to get into the class. They get in, they come in, they learn a trade, a technical trade. They come out of the class, they get credentials with a company called NCCCR. So they got, you know, actually for the CTE programs. So they got credentials and experience coming out of here. So if they make it into level two, and once level two's on, they get a job. We help them get a job, and they go to work.
And your area of expertise is electrical, right?
Correct.
And that's the course that you're teaching here.
Yes.
And Briar, why did you decide to take this course?
Our high school counselor showed us this program, WMCI, and I thought it was a really good thing to get into, because I know the trades have a really good job security. I'd be able to find a job and have one for life.
What made you interested in electrical? What a cool area.
My whole family kind of works in the trades, and I thought electrical would be pretty fun. So.
And Mr. Gall, you actually got started about the same age as Briar is now. You took a course way back at Kent Career Tech Center. Can you tell us about the course you took and how that helped launch what you ended up doing with your career?
Yes, I did. It was back in the early 80s. I was a junior in high school. The class came available. So a friend of mine was also getting in the same class. We did it together. I was looking forward to it because my older brother's an electrician. He took the same class. And I got in the class, and I was working right away the summer after my junior year. And I kept a job and working ever since.
Fantastic. What was the course that you took there?
At that time, it was called Industrial Electricity.
And now you're teaching our next generation of electricians. That's pretty cool to come full circle.
Yes. Yes.
And Briar, can you tell us how this course is really helping you achieve your goals of wanting to become an electrician? What do you actually do in this course?
This electrical course will help me get the credentials and skills I need for the electrical field, and it will help me find a job.
Fantastic. What kinds of skills are you learning? What are you doing in that lab over there?
We learn how to bend conduit, run wires, install lights and switches, outlets, all sorts of things that we need to know on the job.
Fantastic. And have you been able to experience any field trips or anything where you're actually seeing some of this work in action?
Yeah, we went to a couple job sites and we got to do a tour of them and see how things go.
What do you think of learning from people who are actual professionals in this field? Does that make a difference for you?
Yeah, it does. Learning from professionals who've worked in the field for a while, they know how the trade is and what you need to know to get started.
Fantastic. Have you had an opportunity to earn some credentials while you're still in high school?
Yeah, we learn our core credential and then our level one electrical through high school.
That's great. What do you hope to do next, maybe this summer?
I want to get a job as an apprentice and then come back here in the fall to keep learning.
Fantastic. Mr. Gall, why do you think it's important for us as adults and as educators to ask students like Briar what they're interested in, what their dreams might be?
Well, you got to find out what they'd like to do. You know, we have some people that come into class that they think they want to do electrical and they might change their mind. We give them some different options here. We do other training and kind of get them exposed to the trades, different things they can do. They can stick to electrical, they can move on to another trade. So,
Briar, I'd like to ask you the same question. Why do you think it's important for us to learn what your dreams are and help you achieve those dreams?
If you don't know what you want to be when you're older, it can be hard to be successful. But if you have a dream, then you can work toward it when you're young, and you can be successful in your life.
Fantastic. Mr. Gall, we want to welcome you to the Kent Career Tech Center Alumni Network, which we've just started this year. We're taking a chance of
bringing back our alums so that you can be aligned with some of our students and our programs, and that we can celebrate your success too. So congratulations on your career.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been great. It's a good, I think it's a neat program.
Tell us about the need for new students like Briar in an electrical field today.
Oh, there's a big need. Skill trades, as we know, for quite a while now have been short on people. It's hard to find people. It's going to be a shortage for quite a while, actually. So an electrical trade, it's a nice one because there's so many other avenues you can do in electrical besides just running conduit, pulling wire. There's a lot of technical avenues. There's other avenues. You can become a project manager, an estimator, a foreman, a lot of different things. So a lot of dreams within a dream.
Fantastic. And Briar, would you like to share with maybe the next generation after you why it's important to embrace programs like this CTE experience here at West Michigan Construction Institute?
I think this is a great program because you can do it when you're young in high school and it's completely free. It's a great opportunity to get into the trades and learn all about them.
Well, we wish you a great deal of success, and I really appreciate talking with both of you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone who's listening, too. If you know a student who dreams big, we would love to feature them in our Your Dream is Our Dream podcast. You can submit your ideas and hear more episodes at kentisd.org/yourdreamisourdream. I'm Joy Walczak. The Your Dream is Our Dream podcast is presented by Kent ISD in partnership with WGBU.
And that is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, March 11, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling. Patrick Center is WGBU's News and Public Affairs Director. See you on Thursday.